it's not to do with a marriage, non-marriage contract, it's nothing to do with that. Whoever's the father of the child, he is a right to make a claim for the loss of the child.
No, it's not because it's the father. The father is the father. The father of the girl is the father.
No, the father of the child that was lost. Yes. Even so bad. Chayev the shalom to make blood to the father. For nezik v'sali isha, what does a woman have a claim? Has she got a right to the, she lost a child? No, the claim is any personal, physical damage to herself, any sar that may have caused to herself, that's her claim. As far as the child goes, it's whoever the father of that child was. Kate the Mishanturas, how do you actually work out the value of a child? Shomin is a isha, kam the hoisi yofa, atri yol yota. The old days used to have a slave market. Now banned in most countries in the world. We'll be discussing in a bit, but in respect to that at some stage. Now, for us, how to work out the value of the child which was lost, we have to go back. Imagine we're in the slave market and say a woman. Or if it's easy, accessible, I mean, the Middle East maybe is nearer to us than most countries. Okay. And you take the shuk value of a woman who's been sold as a slave. If she was pregnant, she'll get more value than she is not pregnant. That difference is what you call the value of the child. That whoever the father of the child has a claim against this person who's smashed into the car caused her to miscarriage. She has no right to the fact that she was bearing the child to have any claim, but she has a claim for physical damage. Okay, that's the halachic claim. Now, can you enforce such a halachic claim nowadays? Can you enforce such a halachic? Hey, what's it called? Is this called Knas or not Knas? Knas is we can't do based on.
Why is it Knas?
Is it? That's what I'm asking. Leave the question back on me.
Is
it not Knas. So it should be, if it's not Knas, you should do it. Nachor, it's not Knas. Let's read the Shulchanah. Odom Shulchanah B'chameh Eima bin Zayonim She'enim Sumchameh. If you're not dying, you haven't got Shulchanah, so which we haven't got nowadays. You get damaged by something, you can't claim damages. For the reason, no can deductive, is there? Well, we know who's been deductive in this. Well, Kofin, Achoba, the Faisa, Achoba, the Katsik, Vinirlen. The Maisa, even though we, based in, can't impose any the letter of the law, because we haven't got the qualifications, we haven't got Smitha. Nevertheless, we can force a certain Peshon. By included in this concept, we can't enforce the real value, but only certain peshorah is person gets damaged on another person. Not like knas is like you understood like kefil or dalet behei, which is more than the value of the damage. It's something called knas, which is actually the value of what you've caused the loss. It's still called a knas. Why is it called a knas? Testing your general knowledge here. Why is it called a knas? You damaged him and made him lose money, not just. I thought class was you have to always pay what you damage, and you want to penalize them, you know, double, four, five. That's called class. Here we see that this is called class, even though you're not returning the loss. It's called class, even though not returning what you lost is called a class. Why is it called class? Yeah, but why? Because it's called class. It has to be in the category of class. Why can't they do it? Why is it called Knas? It's a penalty. You caused them a loss.
It's a penalty, it's not the same thing. You're not returning the blood. You're giving
dung. Well, is not returning the nezek, you're only giving dung.
Well, if it's more direct to money, then you say it's more shoved.
No, if I bang up your car, I'm not giving you back your car.
Yeah.
You could return it.
Your car is gone.
So there's different ways to say this. We'll choose one method of saying it. He says a kadas is a broad term for that it's difficult for us to actually work out the real value. And since making a shuma in the shuk for slaves is very difficult nowadays to do at all, for to get the right price, so therefore we're not qualified to make such a decision.
It wasn't difficult in the Ramah's days.
So what he says, the Ramah says also that we can, all we can do, even nowadays, he says, is a kanas. We can't really get the right value, so really we shouldn't have the jurisdiction to impose any penalty. But the minhag is that we force them to make a pshara.
So why can't the Ramah get the right value? That's what I don't understand.
It's still subjective, the slave market.
Yeah, slave market is too subjective.
Too subjective?
Yeah. So what does it mean? What's the type of pshara? You put the guy in cheirim, you can't do more than that, you put him in cheirim, ostracize him from society, until he agrees to give a certain monetary offer which appeases the other side. Okay? That's what you can do in a monetary fashion.
Even if it exceeds what otherwise would
be? No, it can't be exceeds. It doesn't exceed. Yeah. So, to summarize what we've seen so far. Unfortunately, somebody has a car crash and the result of that causes a woman in the other vehicle to miscarriage. There's a claim of damages. Who has the claim of damages for that miscarriage? The father of the child has a claim for the value of that child which was lost. The woman has only a claim, nothing to do with the child she lost. She has a claim for any physical damage she had from that. Both type of items which need certain estimation of what the real value is in the shuk of slaves. And that is not very, that needs certain expertise. We are not qualified that expertise to do such a thing nowadays. So therefore we shouldn't be able to do it at all in Beis Din. But we have a minhag in Beis Din to force them through social pressure to make an offer that appeases the other side, and that's what we do.
Oh, only through social pressure? They can't actually force him?
We can't hit him, we can't force him. In Menadim also, he says, the example is put him in Khair.
So you can't be Yorid Lenechasim in...
No, Yorid Lenechasim is being Gover in Beis Din. That's a money. We can't actually take money out of his hand. We have to force him to give the money. Okay. Right, that is the Kalalim. Now, based on that Kalalim, Meister Shahoy are going to introduce the case by Shahoy and analyze it. And then we'll get to the Pinnacle Sadina, hopefully, at some stage. End of this week, beginning of next week. Now, Meister Shahoy. A person who's not Jewish owns a shop where he sells fireworks. A boy who is under the age who cannot buy legally from that shop fireworks walks in and buys fireworks.
Cannot.
He hasn't got the legal age to buy such one.
Jewish one?
No, not Jewish wise. We're talking about the law of the land. So he's broken the law and sold it to this child. Child then goes and wants to try out the fireworks. He does and doesn't realize that the person in the nearest vicinity to him is a pregnant woman. And by doing that and exploding it very near to where she was standing, she took a miscarriage. Now she takes the child, the father, the parents of the child, and the owner of the store to Beis Din. She's a very religious person.
Oh, the woman was religious.
Yeah, very religious. She and the husband take them to Beis Din. With a claim. It's not Jewish. Takes the goy wants to go to Beis Din. You can understand why the goy wants to go to Beis Din. Because he broke the law of the land. And by breaking the law of the land, he just not the consequences of breaking the law of the land was a terrible consequence. So he is totally frightened to go into the courts. Based on he feels in the more in a safe environment in his life.
The boy is Jewish.
Yeah, the boy is Jewish. So they got the boy, the parents, and the goy being taken to Basin by the woman and her husband. Now, what's the claim? We just set out the claim. She's claiming she lost the child through the process. She didn't get really much physical damage. So really, it's only a claim of, the maximum claim we're talking about here is a claim of miscarriage. Not really her claim at all. It's really the husband's claim, because she hasn't got claim on that. And it's not something really you can enforce, but we force them socially to make a payment that appeases the other side. That's the claim that she's making.
Not claiming on her rights?
She hasn't got much sadness. Yeah.
I would think that would be more than the...
What was the number?
It's certainly Tsar for women to lose a child.
Oh, what's called Tsar? What's called Tsar? That's not called Tsar. Tsar's from injury.
Oh, is that the emotional Tsar?
That's not emotional Tsar. Maybe there's a certain type of emotional Tsar. There's discussions about that. It's okay. When we get back to Hilchos Mazik, we may discuss that type of emotional Tsar. Now, so the Chora, that's all basically get involved in. Now, has she got a valid claim? As far as Halacha goes, before we get into the Machus of it. Why is it called a grama? Why is this different from the first case? Someone's driving a car, smashes into somebody else's car, she has a miscarriage. The Taka has a claim. The Taka, we force you under social pressure to make a financial offer. Why should this case be different? In what fashion is it different?
Speaking about a fire, the Yad Kutum, we have responsibility to give a fire, but only if it's a big fire.
He's over Bar Mitzvah.
Oh, he's over Bar Mitzvah.
Over Bar Mitzvah.
Or underage as far as...
Underage as far as the law of the land.
As far as the Adiah.
What?
As far as the
Yes, yeah, my son.
And the case of the man is the grammar, but he didn't touch you directly.
Oh, okay. Let's analyze whether that's true. So there is a halak and shulchan aruch, also for Baba Kama, Peret HaKlovel. Says the following. Number 3 in the Baba Kama, Simon Tov base. Hamavis as chaver. I want you to ask you whether this is comparable. Hamavis as chaver. You frighten someone. He got ill from the fright. You don't need to pay as far based in the Kaab Machayv at all. Can't even force you to give some sort of compensation. It's not even recognized at the time that even we had Smicha to do anything. It's Chayv Bidei Shemayim. Shemayim, your Chayv. Could go and give you a case. Shesot Lo Ma'acharos. You scream behind him. And Simon, you scream in his ear. V'charsho. And he comes deaf. Potter midday autumn for chai pide shaman. Now, why is it potter midday autumn?
Maybe it wouldn't.
Because you're saying groma. You touch him.
Maybe it wouldn't happen to everyone.
You have to touch him. No. You have to touch him. To be considered mazik.
No.
Maybe it wouldn't happen to everyone and they would get scared. Meaning the fireworks is going to hurt the baby no matter what. But here, screaming, some people get scared, some people don't get scared. You know,
let's try and stand it well before you stand the fireworks. What screaming is here, it becomes death. You're not chayv b'dei adam, chayv b'dei shayim. You're saying gromas. Why is it gromas?
It's not like koa.
Like koa?
Your voice. The sound waves.
But you produce them.
You can be over in the rice with your sound, with your mouth.
And that was magic, it's Baron Bahama.
You got proof to that?
Yeah, but I think we've said that before.
Words? Okay. That is it. Yeah. You could be over at Siddur Isis with your math. Yeah. The Gemara and Tzemurah discuss whether speech is called a Maisa. Yeah? The Gemara and Tzemurah's conclusion is speaking is a Maisa.
this is not a merit speech.
If you're telling me it's not a maaser, I've got a Gemara tomorrow that says it is a maaser. Okay. So. Yeah, this is even worse than the chalos. So we have to understand something. Why on earth is this considered only chai b'dishman? You want to say gromus? You scream in somebody's ear, you make him deaf, and you say it's not a mazik, it's only groma. Why is it only groma?
Especially if you did it intentionally.
Okay, so let's bring a maisa, the maisa. Hopefully it won't happen at Tzuli's customer. There's a waiter walking around with lots of things in his hands, and quite expensive items in his hands. There's one of the guests comes up to the waiter from behind him and taps him on the back, gives him a pat on the back, wants to ask him something. He gets a terrible shock and drops everything and smashes the smithereens. Quite expensive items. Is the guy responsible for the damage by the fact he tapped him on the shoulder? Okay. Is he chayv b'diyotam, chayv b'dishamayim, or poter legamri? Three options. Is it something like the case of the Gemara we just discussed? You scream in somebody's ear, make him deaf. Chayv b'dishamayim, not odom.
Yeah.
Is it worse than that? Is it even chayv b'dishamayim, or it's even less than that? It's not even going to be chayv b'dishamayim. Got your three options.
Was it a normal reaction that the waiter had, or he is just the yosin and akal mufunak and there's no?
Oh, give him a solid slap on the back.
Yeah.
From behind you. You do get surprised when you're not expecting it.
And he didn't know that the waiter was carrying all this stuff.
He saw he was carrying something. Didn't understand. You know, people don't think. Life is
right.
Reaction.
But it's still not a guaranteed result. Something's for sure going to happen. So that's a disconnect. That's why it's more like our case of the Gemara.
So you're saying it's like... So you're saying...
I'm not saying it's like Gemara. It's like maybe it's the only category. It's not... It's maybe less than gross.
Say it's worse. It's okay.
If you hate somebody, you die. So everybody dies. Nothing would happen to you. You hit somebody, it's nothing. Hit somebody else, you die.
You do realize the guy you're hitting is 99-year-old, yeah?
This is an emotional response. There's a subjectivity involved here.
The waiter was
involved.
Not emotional.
It was the fright.
It's like you're saying the fright. So you're saying my tap on the shoulder
wasn't strong enough to make him drop the stuff.
Wasn't strong enough to drop the stuff.
Had he seen me coming?
So what? Why did he drop the stuff?
He was startled. Right. He had an emotional reaction.
And therefore, you say you understand. You understand that as being therefore not chayv.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. Well, it depends why it's groma. If it's, we have to define why it's groma. What's been suggested over here why it's groma is because my actual action didn't create the place to go on the floor. It hasn't got the force to create the place to go on the floor. It just created a domino effect. A domino effect is therefore not a direct effect, therefore it's groma. That's what you're suggesting over here. Let us see, therefore, how the Gemara explains why when you scream in somebody's ear and you make him deaf, you're not chayv b'dishamayim. Let us see what the Gemara says. Number 4. Toshima. Hiku al ozno b'chirshu. You go to an eved and he hits the eved on his ear and he becomes deaf. When you make your eved deaf, what's one of the halachas of that happens? What's the consequence of that?
Goes free.
Evan Yotzeb and Lecheris. It goes free. Kenegedozo, Beinu Shomer, Eino Yotzeb. But if you make a noise, not on his ear, you don't hit his ear, but you make a noise, in line with his ear, that makes him deaf, doesn't go for it, my timer, what's the difference? The other day you made them dead. Mishum, you know why? Dominon hu davis nafshe. He fighteth himself. The reason why he doesn't go free when I don't touch his ear and just tap my hands in front of him, live with his ear, and then he goes dead. Because he frightened himself. It wasn't me that did it. He frightened himself. Okay. We're going to add more. Yeah. Okay. Okay. We've got explanation with questions on it now. Getzania, you know why? How do I know this is true? Hamavis is Aves Potter. That's why when you frighten your friends, you're Potter. You're not chayvid on them. Why? Because it's not you. You're just causing it. It's not you. Okay, so what's that case? Talk about the kosher potter. If you tuck it, hit the guy on his ear, you're going to be. You don't sit you in line with his ear, then you're going to be potter. Och is a talker. If you actually hold his ear, if you hold his ear, the kosher, and make him deaf, then you're chayvid. So the Gemara says like this: if you hit the guy and make him deaf, then you're chayv. If you clap and make a huge noise and that causes deafness to come, then he doesn't go free the evidence, and you're not chayv. But the ultimate chayv is shown. Why? Because the Gemara says ibos nashe, he frightened himself. Now we're going to have Eretz's question. What's Eretz's question on this? On the Gemara now. Yeah, Eric's honest question. What the Gemara is saying is explaining, like everyone is saying, by the case of the waiter. I slap on his back, he gets startled, drops over him. My slap didn't cause it to break. My slap didn't make him startled, and the startle made it break. That's called indirect. The Gemara says that's for shots. When you scream in somebody's ear, make him deaf, it's also called indirect. That's why you only chayv b'dei shamayim. Why? Because he frightened himself. Eretz asked the question. How can you say, when you scream in somebody's ear, that that's called causative domino effect and not direct? Is that direct? My noise, decibels, made them deaf. It's not causative. It's direct.
If the person was hard of hearing to begin with, so your scream would have the same frightening effect on him. It's very subjective.
If you hit him on his ear and he's hard to hear in the first place.
Yeah, I'm saying that the different people react differently to
noise.
It's also a two-step
process. He's screaming, and then his scream produces sound waves. So his mice was a screaming. The sound waves that resulted in it actually affected the deafness, that was a separate...
Okay, so I take a bow and arrow, then pull it up, that's my action, and then the consequence of action, it flies through and goes straight into somebody's heart. Yeah, not indirect, not chayv misuf. You don't need to touch somebody to be called direct. Yeah. You want to say something? Okay. So let us see what the Rishonim, how they're troubled by this. Indirect. Why are you high? Why are you positive? Yeah. So this is how the Rishonim. There's two different ways the Rishonim explains. Let's look at number 5, Mar Mokum. Shitta Mekabetsa says the following. In the name of the Ramah. My Tama. You talk on Mavis Dafshe. The Gemara says, because he... By screaming at him, he made himself frightened. Why? Shahoyalo lahachim rosho nesad acher. He should have bent his ear away from your scream. And he didn't bother doing that. Avavadai im lohoyo yochul lahachim rosho. Avavadai, if he wasn't able to move his head away, and he wasn't able to protect himself from the damage. Gear is the day, that's direct, it's called a direct effect from you and your chayv. i.e. the whole shot of the Gemara of you screaming somebody's there, and you're being potter b'dayotam only chavidin shemaim, because it's indirect. That's when he could have protected himself from the damage, and he didn't. But if he can't protect himself from the damage, then you taka chayim.
Somebody throws a rock at somebody, and he gets frightened, and he doesn't work, he doesn't move. But if he wasn't frightened, he could have moved away. Instead, the person got high for the rock that hits him in the head. He on purpose throws a rock at somebody's head.
Okay. A good question. Should we tackle later on? The Shidduch Rebbetzin himself tackles a new question. But the Yesodi saying is this is called indirect because he could have protected himself. And he didn't protect. But Taki, if you do it in a fashion where he can't protect himself, i.e., one of the Zavos is to hold his ear so he can't move, and I'm screaming in it, obviously he can't protect himself, that's called direct, and Yochai is Taki for making him deaf. Touching. That is the Shittas Ramah's explanation of the Gemara. Okay? Rashi says different words. And what Rashi says is a big, big discussion. Maybe you can help. Rashi says the following words. Different words. Chimavis, actually Rashi in Kedushin, not on the Gemara and Baba Kameh, in the Gemara and Kedushin. Chimavis midato kom mavis. When he got frightened, he made himself frightened. Shenos libo el apachat. He took in. He accepted. He wanted to. He brought upon himself the fright of kol abapitam, of the noise that comes suddenly.
Well, that's a natural reaction, no? It's a reflexive.
Why should that be given to the elders if he didn't have it?
Oh, good question. Good question. Right, but you're asking a question. Let's get the words clear. The Rashi says it's nothing to do whether he could protect himself or not protect himself. Whenever a person gets death from a noise, it's never a direct consequence of you making that noise. It's a two-step thing. Tuli was yeah, but here it's an explanation specifically with noise. Noise, the pshat, you get damage. Even death is because you decided that this is very frightening. If you have the mental control, then you would never get death from a noise, a big noise.
Why did you start a fire next to your ear?
That may not be from trade, that might be because of the death of us.
No,
that's what it's not. Rashi is saying it's not because of the decibels. It's not a quantifiable thing that you can measure.
There might be circumstances where
you could scream, two people are right in front of me. You can scream, the same decibel level, one's deaf or not.
There's nobody in the world who is not going
to say. Yeah, so is the reason, like Baruch is saying, is that because the damage was the decibel noise? Or the damage was not because of decibels, that was to do of fright. What's that actual Gemara talking about? It says a mavis is coming. You frighten your friend. Example, you're shouting in his ear. So what's the Gemara actually talking about? Not that the fright creates the damage. Wasn't the decibels then? The fright. Says Rashi, a fright that causes damage, even though he's no way of him protecting himself, it's pitom. He didn't even know you're coming. Says Rashi, that's called always indirect, because fright damage depends what type of emotional state you are. If you're type of person, you bring it upon yourself, or you don't bring it upon yourself. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't gone into the depth of.
Like when he touches the waiter got startled and dropped everything.
We're talking about the Kumar's case though. The Kumar's case where he came to death.
But that's where you startle a person.
Rashi would say that if it was.
I'm sure there's a certain noise, level noise, which is very loud. But you. I don't know if you understand what I'm about to say, but you can mentally block it out. Even though physically you can't. You,
and
Yeah, Zopu. Remember the Ashivu, Rabbi Chaim Moser. They went for operations in without anesthesia. Well, the, which
a tremendous amount of noise around you, yeah. Probably around 80 to 90 decibels. And you sit next to the person next to you, you yell at each other and have a conversation all night long.
So we say there is a physical thing in the world, built in the world, that you can block out noise to a certain extent. You have a control of the noise effectors. Oh, but now, before we tackle Eric's question, let's now apply the Rishonim back to our cases. So, the Shitta says, Vishatis, if he can protect himself, then you're going to be off the hook because he shouldn't protect himself. He can't protect himself. Pitom, and it happens. Then Taka Yochai. And as she says, doesn't matter whether he protects himself or not protect himself. You're always going to be potter because having the noise affect you is your emotional state. So you brought it always on yourself, even if it's pit off.
But Rashi would agree if it was a super high decimal level, then objectively would make some
of that. Yeah, if it's up in you, yeah. I mean, I said that. No, because the Lashon of the Gemara actually says Mavis is Chaber. Mavis, that means fright. Yeah. If it defines in medical history that it's impossible to. Yeah, even if you're Rabbi Yashiv, to be able to ignore such a noise, okay, having effect on you.
According to Shita, even if it was a super high decibel, you'd still be high if you didn't take
offense. Okay. There's got problems on both, and we're going to tackle both questions. Let's just bring it back into our cases. First case, okay, is the waiter. You tap him on the back, unexpectedly, he drops everything. Could he protect himself from such a fright? Okay. So therefore, what would the Shitta say under such a circumstance? The one attacked on the back, would he be high or bottom? And what would Rashi say? Rashi says, frightness is always something, emotional state which you can always control, and therefore you always bring it yourself, so even though it's pitom, what would he say? Your bottom. So in that case, of the waiter telling on whether you hold like Rashi, you know, the shooter. Now, what about the firework kiss? A boy throws fireworks, there's a pregnant woman right next to it, she miscarriages because of the fright. What would we say over there? Would you say it's also totally on the Rishonim? That Rashi would say, you would be Potter. She brought it upon herself. And the Shitta will say, you be high. You no, say like that?
No. Because in that case, we're not dealing with the damage to her, we're dealing with the damage to the husband. So it's the wife. He didn't bring it upon himself.
Husband or the wife?
The husband.
The husband, the one
that's being damaged.
So who's he got a claim against?
Who? The husband?
The husband.
Against the boy.
Well, no, against the wife.
No, and yes, not anymore than I have a claim against the waiter.
Because why?
I don't have a claim against the waiter.
Because who brought
the
damage?
The wife had no choice, but she had no choice but to do that.
According to Rashi, she's always bringing it on herself. According to
Rashi, that thing because he has a choice.
No,
there is no choice.
Because you always bring it upon yourself.
But not because you have a choice.
Fine, but it's always nothing to do with me. It's always that person who brought it upon himself.
Okay,
so owners who brought it upon themselves.
Depending on the way you look at it, it's a very odd thing to say. You've got a choice. You might have, a person might have a capability or a lack of capability.
Okay.
I choose to let this slight effect
become
and have a
you choose how you regulate your emotions throughout your life, and it brings you to that point when you're there.
No, this is a fight or flight reaction. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to react to a loud noise, not say, what was that?
So,
the building fell down behind me.
Lechayla. Okay. Lechayla is totally on Rashi, all the shit. Okay. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says. Yeah, the choice obviously is not the, the choice.
What is the case of Rashi's commenting
on? What?
What is the case of Rashi's commenting on?
You say, on that case? Like, come on.
Oh, Kiddushin is the same
case? Exactly the same case. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Who do I Paskin like? Who does Shulchan Aruch Paskin like? If you're going with Rashi, it's much more beneficial for the Mazik. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Ochaz v'takalo b'osn v'chorsha, o'shanogu bo v'adifu b'shashavuz. If you touch him, or you're holding him, and you make him deaf, or frightened, o'shanogu, or you're touching his garment, chayv b'tashlim. Then you're chayv. So how can I work out from this Shulchan Aruch who's passing like? He says, you hold his ear, or you're touching his clothes, and he can step, then you're chayav. So who's he passing like? Who's he passing like? Is he passing like Rashi, or is he passing like the Shitta? Is he saying, you're chayav in all cases where he can't protect himself? Or is he saying, you're going to be hotter always, even the cases you can't protect yourself? Except for obviously what the case of the Gemara, which says when you're holding his ear.
Sounds like Rashi.
Sounds like Rashi. Why does it sound like Rashi?
Because he's always telling you chayiv in the case of direct mazik, mashma, and well,
the
price, direct
touching.
No, he doesn't bring down the case of making noise. And
what way is he different from the Gemara where we had two pshatim in the Gemara? The Gemara says, you don't touch him, you're potter, you touch him, you're chayiv. Two pshatim in the Gemara, either because he can protect himself, can't protect himself, or he brings it upon himself.
So
that's the Gemara. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch, he says the statement, and you want to say, for this statement, it's different from the Gemara, it's clear, like one of the pshatim.
Shulchan Aruch only brings the case of touching him. Mashma, that the non-touching case is touching.
I want more from that. That's not good enough. Why is it not good enough? Because in the first line, which also tells you, don't touch him. Okay. The first line, which is not printed. Well, this line is actually mashmas in the line itself that tells me which mission he's telling me. I can work it out straight away from the words. What? What type of contact? What type of contact does the Shulchan Aruch say? What type of physical contact? What? Any type of contact. According to the Shitta, what type of contact do you need to have to be chayav? According to the Shitta, to be chayav, you have to have what type of contact, according to the Shitta?
That you can't take offensive measure.
That it's a type of contact that prevents him from protecting himself.
Well, it's not all contact.
It's not all contact.
He doesn't say all contact.
Yeah, so what does the Shulchan Aruch say?
All the contacts he mentions are ones that he can't get away from.
No? No? Yeah. What? No?
Yes.
No?
Yes, he's... What? No, Nogabo Bahadafo. He had to push him also.
No.
He had to throw him off balance.
Yeah.
No, Nogabo is not enough. Adrabah, Nogabo is not enough.
Nogabo, and you're still Chayav.
No, he's not Chayav. Hadafo.
Hadafo is also not enough. What's Hadafo?
Yes, it is. Hadafo means
what's
that
to do with the
balance.
Fright? What's that to do with the fright?
He threw him off balance. He can't get away.
What's that to do with the fright?
He can't get away.
No.
He can't prevent it.
What?
What? You also can't get away.
Yeah.
No, Oxo means he's grabbing him. Can't get away.
So the passage of the Shulchan Aruch, despite what Matzah says, is type of any type of contact at the time the damage takes place. You don't need a contact which is the direct cause why he can't protect himself. Any type of contact, then you're going to be caught. So that doesn't make sense for the Shitta. The Shitta said, you're doing such a situation, a logical situation, he can't protect himself. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. Now we go back to Eric's question. Rashi. Okay, we're passing like Rashi. Rashi says, noise is never damaged. That's direct, because you bring it upon yourself. You're supposed to be emotionally conditioning yourself in life, not bring it upon yourself. Not me. So then you got Ed's question. The Gemara says, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Rashi obviously agrees to it, yeah? If you touch him, and even a touch, which has got nothing to do with the actual protection or not protection, at the time when the noise takes place, then you are high. Ah, high. Just because you're touching him, you're going to be high? Why should you, just because you're touching, you're going to be high? If you're not high when you're not touching, because he brings it upon himself, suddenly he doesn't bring it upon himself when I'm just touching him at the time. What's the difference? Touching, not touching? This what? It doesn't say a type of touching that you even notice, really. Does it? Yeah, but we're going with the shitter that says, I don't care whether you can protect yourself or not protect yourself. You're chayv always, even if you can't protect yourself. You're going to be potter always, even if you can't protect yourself. Why? Because the fact that you get frightened is an emotional thing which you bring upon yourself. So why should I be chayv suddenly when I touch you? Even if I touch you, you bring it upon yourself. No? Why should you be chayv?
By seeing that, you're automatically potter, right? You're unintentional.
Oh, why?
Why?
So
that's the classic
mother.
Why?
He's sleeping.
You say, can't be sleeping? He rolls over.
He can't even make the noise.
The noise gets to them.
When you see, do you see when the person is touching you?
You could be touching you from behind.
No, behind.
There's a greater awareness when you're touched.
Now let me put a thing in the thing. We're saying now, if you're telling me with every type of touch you're going to be chayv, of course, because Rashi agrees to the Gemara, then in which case would you be chayv out of our two cases? Kula Alma.
Case of the waiter.
Case of the waiter. Because when you tap them on the back and you drop everything as you touch them. Even Rashi would agree, because that's the case of the Gemara. So if you put it in the fashion we're saying, in the case of the waiter, you touch him in the back, you're chayv. In the case of the woman, you throw diamondite in front of her, and she miscarriages, then you're not chayv.
Sounds fair.
So what's the touching too? Now the question was asked by the Rav Polim. Yeah? Rav Polim asked the question, Kasha, habla ochos a potter, even without touching a potter. Because you didn't do anything. The guy brought it upon himself. So why when you touch him are you chayv? What's the difference? It doesn't create more damage by the fact you touch him or not touch him. Who cares? Why by touching are you suddenly chayv? I don't understand. If you're going like Rashi, I don't understand why touching you suddenly chayv. But follow him, ask the question. So we're going to read the Shitta. The Shitta, and if you can explain this, the Shitta, then...
Is the Shitta the answer, Rashi?
The Shitta's words, which answering himself, he's got a problem, we can use for Rashi.
This is still the Shitta in the Ramah?
Yes, this is the same Shitta.
But in the Ramah?
Yeah, in the Ramah. Now, we have... What was the Ramah say? The Ramah say, if you can protect yourself, then you're not chayv. If you can't protect yourself, then you're going to be chayv. So what did Shmuel ask? Shmuel asked, that means whenever I can protect myself, means there's a stone flying at my head. I could have moved my head out of the way. I didn't, and it came into my head. Then the guy's off the hook. He's off the hook. That's the question on the shitter, in a bit, on the sense. I throw a stone at somebody, and it hits him in the head. I'm going to be off the hook because he could have moved his head. This doesn't make sense. So the Shitta says, I've got an answer to that. And the same answer will help us with Rashi's question. Look at Nabbe. These differences that we're suggesting, protection, not protection, or with Rashi, you bring it yourself and you're not bringing it upon yourself, it's only by Grubba. But when you did something physically, directly to his body, even though you could protect yourself, he could have protected himself. But since you're actually physically having contact with him, you're still called a mazik, you're going to chayv. I don't have this leniency of your release because he could have protected him. I only have this leniency that you're released. If you could protect, he could have protected himself when your whole action is not direct to him. It's a grammatic action, it's not a direct action on him. It's not direct action on him. Then what do you see? Can he protect himself or not protect himself? But if you directly attack him and damage him, then even if he could protect himself, you're still going to be chayv. said Shita. Let's use that to even a step further Rashi. This whole thing of Rashi that says she's bringing it upon themselves, the Bachas, is only
when there's no physical contact.
When there's no direct mazik. If there's a direct mazik, then we don't care whether she bought it herself or not bought herself. Now why? Why would we be able to use this answer by the shitter for his shitter for Rashi? How can we use this answer? Because though the Acharonim want to say, you can use the same answer by Rashi. How can they use the same answer?
Two guys come up, one brother. Each one screams in the ear. Both of them go deaf. One of them touches the other. One touches the guy in his eye, and one of them touches his butt. The whole difference is that he
right, you may come into a different sugya of Zev Zer Gurim. Maybe I have another release because I wasn't the sole purpose. There was a grom involved and there was a direct person involved. Maybe there's a different release.
No, it's the same touching. Maybe.
Touching, okay.
Minimal physical contact. Why should the minimal physical contact make a difference?
Oh, yeah. So we have to explain. We have to explain. Why does it make a difference? That's the question I'm asking. I'll go in open. So we go. Say the same thing in Russian. You just speak, you cause damage, you're not responsible because you bring it upon yourself. You touch, you are responsible because I don't care now because you're making a touch. That's direct. That's not a problem.
Well, no, why? According to Shita, it has to be a touch that affects
I'm
something.
I'm not preventing you from running away. I'm not controlling him. I'm not, you can still react and move away. That's
yes.
All that stuff.
All that stuff.
Why do they say it's grown in the first place? He's saying, based on the idea that it's really grommer, why is it grommer in the first place? What's wrong with it?
So what does the word grommer mean over here?
Well, it's a second reaction. It's not an ever.
No, because then you have your problems.
Call the Amma.
You the Avira Nacho because of the situation where he acted upon himself. He was the one who caused the damage.
So, yep.
What sound is?
Well, it could only be by a case where the sound itself wasn't what destroyed his hearing, but it was his reaction to the sound.
Yes, it's all about that. Yep.
Otherwise, if I blew a bullhorn in his ear and his ear bump, his ears
the way they explain it is like this.
That would not be wrong. But okay. The more it says Mavis.
The so way the mother said, the way they explain it is like this. Noise, we ready to start Rashi, you have to accept it. The noise is you'll bring it upon yourself because you can condition yourself to the noise. I'm definitely the cause of that noise, but you can condition yourself to the noise. But therefore, since you can condition yourself to the noise, we define this as I have not been physically involved. I have not been physically involved. Yeah. But as soon as I have a contact with you, as well as the noise, then we can suggest over here that you're not just out of a removed party from what's happening over here. You have a direct link to what's happening over here. Because you have physical contact with what's happening over here.
But the physical contact
doesn't if the
with
physical
the
with the regular surah,
it has nothing to do with the hezek.
Now what type? Now no. So what type of physical? This is where we finished tonight. What type of physical contact do you have to have in order to be considered? Now it's no longer you're removed, and now you are connected. With connection, you're chayav. Remove, and if it's not connection, you're removed. What type of connection, physical contact that can create that connection?
Something that's facilitating the damage.
Something that's facilitating the damage. What type of contact will facilitate the damage in this case?
Causing fear, or hurting the ear.
Not letting him get away.
What type will facilitate? What's actually facilitate and help the damage happen?
Touching the ear or causing fear.
No, but it's not to do with intent. It's not to do with intent. What actual physical contact can actually help the damage? No.
Hitting the damaged parts.
Stopping moving is one of the things.
Hitting, touching or hitting the damaged area. One of those two things.
Now I'll give you an example. I can say boof to somebody. That what shocks him in that case What gives the shock?
The noise.
The noise. The noise, yeah? If I happen to be brushing him on the sides, which he hardly feels, has that contact have anything to do with the fright which caused the damage? Has that contact? No. Yeah, okay. So therefore, that contact doesn't facilitate the damage at all. But the case of the waiter, for example, I tap him on the shoulder. Did the tap, the contact itself, have something to do with the fright?
Yes.
It wasn't the noise that frightened the waiter. What frightened the waiter? It was the tap itself that frightened the waiter. If the tap itself is part and parcel which caused the hezek, then that's called a direct link to you for that damage. Therefore, as Matan say, it has to be a contact, a physical contact, which has a relationship to the actual fright.
So you have to read that into the Shulchan Aruch.
You have to read that into the Shulchan Aruch.
Because he's just basically saying any type of contact.
Yeah, you have to read it into
only if you don't go like Matan.
So therefore, now, knowing these cards, let's look back at both our cases. In the case of the dynamite. Rome. Any physical contact over there? Just fright?
Fright.
Halacha?
Potter.
In the case of the waiter, right. Is there any physical contact which is called physical contact that facilitates the damage over there? Should be? Yes. Therefore, you should be fight. So, therefore, that's
you
where.
You point to the Shita?
No, not according to the Shita.
No, not the Shita.
According to the Shita. Okay. According to Rashi. So therefore Rashi, who we seem to be going with, and therefore at this stage we're saying, halacha is, in the case of the dynamite, the woman, you're going to be potter. In the case of the waiter, you're going to be chayav. Now, when you say potter, that means you're still chayav.
Shemayim.
Chayav b'dei shemayim. Yeah.
I was just trying to get the waiter's attention. It's a normal thing.
What? So you, people, I'm not saying you did it with kavana, but people have to be responsible.
His job is to...
Okay. Maybe next week we'll add something which will change things. But okay.
So these are not final stuff.
This is as far as the boy, we're going to get into dinner, Marcus, for dinner next week, as far as the goy. As far as the boy, and we'll get... As far as the boy is concerned, in the strict halakh without dinner, machus, dinner, and all that, we're saying is it's groma of vlodis, Dmei vlodis itself, claiming for the miscarriage in itself is something which we have limited control. But even that, it's groma because there was no physical contact, it was fright, brought upon yourself, chai b'dishrayim. So what did Rav Fisher, who was asked, that was the pesach with far as the boy said. So the boy went, he was a yeshiva bocher, and he couldn't learn. For many years afterwards, he couldn't learn, because he felt so bad about what happened. Yeah? So his magid shir took him to Rav Fisher, the famous Rav Fisher, the Hanof. And Rav Fisher said, this is what you have to do. It's a yeshiva. Yeah. No, Dayan Fisher. Dayan Fisher. Yeah. So look at number 9. This is why it's Pesach, and this is why we leave as far as tonight, as far as the boy. Shemati, Shatama Tana, Shotach Eshelus Agam Bifnei Hagon, Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Fisher. Yeah. Veheshev lo, Sheyashlim Midei Chodesh La'avi Ha'uba, Scha Kedei Shilamid Mishnais De'il Nishmas Ha'uba. You should pay every month to the father of the child money for that he should learn Eilish Mishmas Mishnayos for that. That was the pesach that came out of Yaakov.
Uber has a neshama.
Yeah. Of course, he has a neshama.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's he been doing inside the learning?
The neshama comes when you're born.
No. Okay. The neshama is inside. The yetzara comes out on the afterwards. There's no yetzara inside. Okay, Mr. Shem, next week we'll tackle the silence of dinner and of dinner respect to these halachos. Good Shabbos. Let's go for the...